On KIXI, Seattle, the time now is 10 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford has now confirmed an earlier CBS News report that he will create a special clemency review board for his conditional amnesty program for Vietnam War resistors. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The special board will be similar but larger than the three-man panel set up by President Truman after World War II to consider amnesty cases. Talking with reporters aboard Air Force One, Mr. Ford said he was announced his complete package of decisions on amnesty next Tuesday. Without much publicity, the Army for some time has been dealing with the problem of returning deserters. Most cases are handled with much leniency, as Steve Young reports.
For years, Army deserters have been able to get out of the Army without serving any time in the stockade. They do it by seeking a Chapter 10 or administrative discharge. That's good for the Army since it eliminates the expense of courts-martial and strict security. It's not considered likely that most of these men will try to escape. The Chapter 10 is good for them since it's an easy out, but it usually results in an undesirable discharge. That means loss of veterans' pay and difficulty later finding work. Still, in the face of pending amnesty proposals, it's a relatively good deal. Military counselors are still steering deserters to those posts where a Chapter 10 is possible. They refuse to say which posts those are. But CBS News has learned that one of them is Fort Campbell, where almost half the deserters brought here since the start of the year have been given Chapter 10s. And right now they're being processed out in an average of about 4 weeks. Counselors and deserters in Canada with whom we've spoken are concerned that the publicity will lead the Pentagon to drop the administrative discharge. But they also hope the news may persuade President Ford that 18 months alternative service can't be considered a form of leniency. Steve Young, CBS News, Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
More news after this.
I'm Roger Foster with letters to CBS from CBS News.
And I'm meteorologist Gordon Barnes with the weekend weather.
Every Saturday, Gordon and I are here with interesting information for you. I read listener reactions to CBS News coverage, spectrum commentary, and anything you care to write us about. Gordon, of course, brings you a look at the weekend weather all around the country, highlighting tournaments, festivals, and occasions that depend on whether it's rain or shine. Listen for Letters to CBS and the Weekend Weather every Saturday on the CBS Radio Network.
Frank L. Goffio, Executive Director of CARE, calls for help for African drought victims.
Millions of men, women, and children are still barely clinging to life in the drought-stricken countries of Africa. With your help, CARE is speeding millions of pounds of nutritious food, medicine, and other essential supplies. This vital aid, extended now, can make the difference between life and death for desperate people. Your contribution to CARE will save their lives.
Please send your dollars to CARE, African Drought Famine Fund, Department 2, New York, 10016.
The state of the economy was the topic of President Ford's address Friday evening at the 200th anniversary meeting of the First Continental Congress in Philadelphia. Said Mr. Ford, "We will lick inflation by July 4th, 1976.
I have decided that the first priority for us as a nation domestically is an all-out war against inflation. Like the patriots who met here some 200 years ago, we may seem to be moving cautiously and too deliberately. But I hope no one will underestimate the generalship or fighting ability of all Americans today, the same way they did in 1774.
President Ford speaking Friday night in Philadelphia. The hurricane story after this.
Daddy, look at these lines. My company's coming in 20 minutes.
Wrong line, lady. This is express.
Hey, end of the line.
Oh, come on.
Simple nervous tension. Simple nervous tension. Now turn it down with Quiet World tablets, the calmative with pain relievers and two gentle relaxants for hours of relief. Take only as directed. Quiet World tablets ease the aches and that tense feeling to help turn down occasional simple nervous tension.
Hey, we're the Action Corps. See, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
Aye, our ideals are high.
Oughtn't you apply?
means it's now that we need you.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. Don't crawl under a rock. Get into action.
This is the public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
Residents along the coast of the Gulf of Mexico from Louisiana to Florida are waiting at this hour to learn when and where Hurricane Carmen will come ashore. The big storm is not expected to hit land for about another 30 hours. Hurricane forecasters say Carmen is now less than 340 miles south of New Orleans.
Looks like the storm will continue on a northerly course, about 10 miles per hour. And we do have a hurricane watch continuing from Grand Isle to Apalachicola. But we have also a gale warning issued for the Mississippi River Delta area.
Hurricane forecaster Gil Clark. Civil defense officials in coastal areas are mapping evacuation plans. Oil companies have already evacuated work crews on rigs in the Gulf of Mexico. Wall Street indicators generally closed higher on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up more than 7 points. On the big board, the average price per share closed up 19 cents. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for partial clearing tomorrow after patchy morning fog, increasing cloudiness tomorrow night and Sunday. Highs in the lower 70s, lows in the mid-50s. And currently in downtown Seattle at 64 degrees. Taking a look at sports, Major League Baseball activity today in the National League. Los Angeles over Cincinnati, 3-1. St. Louis blank New York, 3-0. San Francisco 2, Atlanta 0. Pittsburgh edged Montreal 2-1. Philadelphia over Chicago, 4-3. And Houston beat San Diego, 4-3. In the American, Baltimore down Cleveland twice, 2-0, 1-0. New York beat Detroit 6-2. Milwaukee over Boston, 2-0. National Football League exhibition play. Washington 7, Baltimore 6, Buffalo 23, the New York Giants 17, Kansas City 31, St. Louis 16, and Green Bay beat Cincinnati 26-24. The time at KIXI is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to another hour with the great forces of the unknown. Those majestic forces that move around, above and beneath us, pushing and pulling at our lives, our bodies, our brains. Forces no less powerful because we know them not. And here's a thought. How much of their power actually derives from their mystery? Were we to fathom them, explode their secrets, would they then become as comprehensible as, say, the centrifugal force in the spin dryer at the laundromat? Well, the day is far off when we can be that knowledgeable. So, in the meantime, listen.
How will you do it?
A gun?
Do you have a gun?
No.
Well, then that's no good.
A knife.
Could you get near him? Near enough to use a knife? Do you have the strength?
No.
Well, so that's no good.
But he has to die so that I can live.
He will die. He will die tomorrow morning.
How do you know?
He will die of the Mass of Saint-Cécaire.
Our mystery drama, The Secret Doctrine, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say Budweiser, when you say Budweiser,
only want the King of Peace.
There is no other one. There's only something less.
Something
because
less.
The King of Peace is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
and you said it all. You said it all.
Anheuser Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Honey, just look at this fantastic buy I made. This came from a catalog at $47.45. And the manufacturer's list price is $89.95. I can't believe it.
Well, don't believe it. Your $47.45 price is pretty good. Only I've been looking around, and believe me, no one is selling them for list price.
You mean I was taken? I got a bad deal? Gosh, I wonder how I could really find out.
I'll help you.
Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. You know, catalogs sometimes list two prices for an item. One is the list price, and the other is what you pay. And the only way you can be sure is to shop around.
You are so smart.
Oh, not at all. Your Better Business Bureau is better information for consumers like you.
Careful, they say, what you ask for, lest it be given to you. Who of us knows what to ask for? Who can see far enough into the future to know what gift will delight and which destroy? Better simply to accept whatever comes with gratitude whenever possible. Listen with me now to the somber story called The Secret Doctrine.
You can begin now, Louise.
Now, Father Giles?
The others have gone. You said your confession would take some time, so let's begin.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Go on, Louise, and speak up. Don't mumble.
In thought, word, and deed. Oh, Father, I can't find the words to tell you.
Remember, I sit in the confessional box not only as your priest, but as God's own surrogate.
Father, you know Peter Sorrell.
Sorrell?
Yes. The American movie star.
Oh, I don't know any American movie stars. You mean the actor who came here to make a film about the saint? It's Vincent de Paul? Yes. It caused quite a stir in the village. And then something happened. What was it?
Father, Peter Sorrell died.
Oh, did he die? I hadn't heard.
This morning.
Oh, God take his soul. What was his illness?
He was not ill, Father. He simply died. He slipped away.
But he was not an old man. What did the doctor say?
Just what I told you. That he was not ill. That he simply grew weaker and weaker until death took him. I know what he died of, Father Giles.
You know?
He died of the Mass of Saint-Cécaire.
Do you know what you're saying? The Mass of Saint-Cécaire has not been said in Gascony for hundreds of years. Most priests have never heard it. Oh, no good priest would even say it. I think you would best tell me all about it, Louise.
Yes, Father. I was in love with Peter Sorrell.
In love? Well, you never knew him. He only came here a month ago.
I've seen all his films, each one many times. When one of them came to Dax, I'd walk the 20 miles to see it. And if it was there for 2 days, I'd roam the streets all night to see it again and again, as many times as it was shown.
You call this being in love? How old are you, Louise?
I'm 38, Father.
Have you ever loved a boy, a man?
No, Father. I've been in love with Peter Sorrell since I was 18. I've written to him in Hollywood every week for 20 years. And once he answered me, and he sent me his picture. And when I heard that he was coming here, I saw the hand of God.
Take care you don't blaspheme, Louise.
That is how it seemed to me, Father Giles.
Go on.
The company he worked for had rented the big house on the hill for him. And the first day he was here, I took him some of my onion soup.
Well, well, well. What have we here?
I brought you some onion soup, Mr. Sorrell. If you'd care to accept it.
I'd care like crazy.
I've seen all your films, Mr. Sorrell. I love them all.
You've got a big heart.
And the next day I took him a bottle of wine. It's called sand wine, Mr. Sorrell. A local product.
Like you. You're a local product.
It's very good. Really, it is.
So are you. What's your name?
And the next day, I took him a bottle of brandy. It's Armagnac, Mr. Sorrell. It's the best brandy in France.
I'll just bet it is.
There's a dish I know how to make with this brandy. Roast capon.
And you're going to make it for me, aren't you, Louise? That is your name, isn't it? Louise?
The next day I went to his house. But this time he wasn't alone. There was a man with him. A young American gentleman.
I shouldn't have let you talk me into this picture, Gabe.
Me talk you into it?
Who cares about saints anymore?
Well, there's got to be a reaction from all that demon stuff eventually.
Pardon me, Mr. Sorrell. The capon is...
Louise, meet my agent, Gabe Hauser.
How are you, Louise?
Mr. Hauser, I'll keep the capon warm until you're ready.
Please.
Yes, when you're ready, call me.
Who is that?
A fan. One of my millions of fans.
What's for dinner tonight, Louise?
Gascony pork and cabbage in a special sauce.
Why can't we eat like that on the set, huh, Peter?
Because Louise isn't on the set.
Oh, if only I could be.
Hey, we could fix her up with a walk-on or something, couldn't we?
You could.
Hey, she could be one of the Sisters of Charity. Why not?
Louise, the star has spoken.
So then, Father, I could be with him during the day and not just in the evenings. I was in heaven.
You have strange concepts of theological matters, Louise. But go on.
Well, the atmosphere of that place, all the fuss and the laughter and the excitement, it all went to my head. And I forgot that I only wanted to serve him. I wanted to love him, to belong to him, and to have him belong to me.
You poor woman.
I watched him every moment. My eyes were fastened on his face. My ears strained to catch every word that fell from his lips.
There is nothing so grand as a good priest. It hurts me to see God's work in unloving hands.
Cut! That's a print. Okay, let's pray.
I didn't think anyone noticed how I stared at him, followed him about, waited for him after the day's work. But one day as I watched him...
And the city hospital. Two to a bed. Some lying on the floor.
You're crying,
and
Louise.
Poor.
He's doing the scene with the cardinal.
Oh, it's not a sad scene. It's not even a good scene.
Oh, it's a very good scene.
Terror.
It's a wonderful scene. Everything he does is wonderful. It was Noemi, Father. You know her? The woman who came here from the Basque country last year. She got herself a job, an extra like me. And so I saw a lot of her after that.
My father. I degraded my father. I scourged my father.
Why, you want him for your very own.
Not the way you mean, Noemi.
Oh, yes. Precisely the way I mean. What other way is there?
Oh, my Savior. I need to confess. Cut. Print it. Right for lunch.
Noemi was always there, Father. I couldn't send her away. Well, she belonged there as much as I did, after all.
Why in the world should I lie down when those poor people are calling for me?
Why, you want him, I Louise. It shows on your face.
I see them lying.
It's hopeless.
Tell me, can you get your hands on some locks of his hair? Cuttings from his fingernails, his toenails.
Why? Why should I?
Why, they will give you power over him.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Oh, believe. Believe it's true. His hair, his fingernails, his toenails. If you want him, get them and bring them to me.
Need me? Cut. Break that. Intentions are on the set, please.
I didn't believe her, Father, not really. But my desire had become so great, I thought I should go mad. I had no trouble finding bits of his hair. I picked up all I needed from the floor of the makeup room. But the cuttings from his fingernails and his toenails, that was more difficult. Then one evening at his house.
DePaul was the first social worker in history. You know that, Gabe? I mean, he organized social services.
Would you like some more Armagnac, Mr. Sorrell?
Oh, you still here, Louise? You can go home whenever you feel like it. You don't have to stick around.
I've been listening and watching.
A great dinner, Louise.
I noticed you bite your nails, Mr. Sorrell, when you talk.
Oh, yeah. A childhood habit.
You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's what my mother always said.
If you let me cut your nails properly.
My mother always said that, too.
I have a scissors right here with me.
My mother also always had the scissors right there with her.
So while they talked, I cut his fingernails. And I saved them all, even the little bits of cuticle, in my kerchief. And when I had finished...
Louise, you're a saint.
Oh, if I'm a saint, Mr. Sorrell, I should wash your feet.
Wash my feet?
Say now...
They get awfully dirty walking around the set in those old sandals. And all the saints, even the Pope, he washes the feet of a sinner once a year to show humility.
I'm your sinner, is that it?
Let her, Peter, if she wants to.
Well, you really want to?
And to cut your toenails.
Well, what can I say? It's the best offer I've had since I came to France.
And so I did, Father. And when I left that night, I had all the cuttings in my kerchief, and I took them to Noemi, who waited for me in the woods.
Take this, Louise.
What is that?
It's a little bag made from the skin of a toad, which my own daughter impaled at midnight in the graveyard of the old abbey. Oh, we put all your precious cuttings into it. Now, pull the drawstrings tight. That's it, and hang it around your neck, under your dress. Yes, 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 just like that.
How do you know that it will work?
I know.
It seems so wrong. It's going against God, isn't it?
Have you ever heard of Eliphaz Levi and the secret doctrine?
No.
Well, Eliphaz Levi was his pen name. He wrote many books on the subject of magic. Magic exists. Always has existed all over the world.
But I'm afraid of it, Noemi.
Oh, give in to your fear and you lose the thing you most desire. Conquer your fear and the secret doctrine will bring you Peter Sorrell.
How do I know?
Magic is everywhere, unseen, unheard, but it is working all the time. You need only the spiritual energy to make it work for you.
But do I have energy like that? I don't think I do.
Oh, never mind. I do. Now, kneel down. No, do not bow your head. Raise your face to the sky. Send up a prayer from your loins to Aether, God of chaos and the dark.
Well, the secret doctrine has been kept from me, I must say. All my life, I have struggled from problem to problem, quandary to quandary, with only my limited intelligence to assist me. And all the time, was there a secret doctrine that might have solved things magically? If so, I'm a little late finding it out. We'll be back shortly for Act Two.
Excuse me, madam.
Oh, I'm in an awful hurry.
I just wonder if you could answer a simple question
for
me.
So do I.
The question is this.
What?
What happens this time of year?
Oh, that's easy. The kids get home from camp. Goodbye.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
Nope.
I mean, I should know when my kids get home from camp.
Well, the answer I had in mind was a tad more general in scope.
Well, I gave my answer. Let's hear yours.
You know, I'm glad you asked.
Are you?
You see, what happens this time of year is that Buick dealers are giving particularly great deals on all their 74 Buicks. For a family woman such as yourself, I think a neat little Apollo would be just the ticket. It's small, economical, but surprisingly roomy. And it's a Buick, so it's really quite elegant.
You don't say.
Uh-huh. Now, isn't that good news?
Yes.
I mean, that you can get such a nifty deal on such a nifty small car.
To be sure it is, yes.
To be sure. By the way, where do your kids go to camp?
Guam. It's a small island in the South Pacific.
Guam.
What the Marines are looking for. A few good college men who want to lead. Men who have enough on the pole to be eligible for PLC, Platoon Leaders Class. Not everyone can make it. It takes brains. It takes muscle. And summer training is no picnic. It takes men who want a real challenge. A challenge of leading Marine ground troops, flying sophisticated Marine aircraft, or serving as Marine lawyers. If you're one of the few who can make it, there's financial assistance available during school, up to $2,700 over 3 years. There's even free civilian flying lessons for qualified men. PLC Ground, PLC Air, PLC Law, for a few good men.
The only magic I have ever known was long, long ago, when I expelled a loud and angry scream, and food instantly appeared. Talk about rubbing a lamp. Talk about wearing a bag of discarded nails and hair about your neck. Well, we shall see if they can match my infant cry.
Some sort of magic was working, Father Giles. Because when I got to my feet, after that strange prayer to the God of Chaos, there in the woods with the toadskin bag still hanging around my neck, I felt that I was a beautiful woman. Can you imagine that, Father?
Yes.
The next day was my last, so far as the film was concerned. I hated to step out of the Sister of Charity habit and get back into my own clothes. But my spirits rose to the sky when Peter stopped me and said...
This was your last day, wasn't it, Louise?
Yes, my last day.
Well, it won't be the same around here without you. We'll miss you.
Will you? I mean, will you miss me?
I'll miss you the most. But I'll see you at the house, won't I? You're not going to desert me now, are you?
Never. I'd never do that.
Well, you'd better not, Louise.
I met Noemi late that night in the woods, and I told her what Peter had said and what I had said.
You see? The magic is beginning to take hold.
I couldn't go to the set the next day. What reason would I have? So I spent the day in his house cooking a shoulder of lamb for him in the Gascon style. You know how long that takes, Father.
Louise!
In the kitchen.
That smells so good.
It's something special I'm cooking for you.
Louise, Louise, what have I done to deserve you? You're the greatest thing that's happened to me since... Well, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Let's put it that way.
I told Noemi that night that time was growing short, that in 2 days Peter surely would be leaving France. And I told her I must go with him.
No. Listen, Louise. This is what you must do. When he comes home, you must be waiting for him on his bed, all naked and perfumed, and he will love you.
I had loved him, Father, for so many years. And now every dream, every desire would come true. I was lying on his bed, as Noemi had told me I should be, with my hair all freshly washed and perfumed, as my body was. And I heard the front door close. And I heard his feet on the stairs.
Louise!
I couldn't answer. I waited for the bedroom door to open. And it did.
Who's... What are... Louise, is that you? What in the name of heaven?
I've been waiting for you.
Are you crazy?
Peter, listen to me. I want you to love me. You do love me. I've seen the love growing in your eyes. I've heard it in your voice. Take me now. And tell me that you love me. And that we will go to America together, to your home, where I will love you and look after you.
Louise, now listen to me.
See, look, over there I brought all my clothes. I feel that I'm reaching the end of a long, long journey. I've loved you so long.
Louise, let me talk to you.
Oh, yes. Talk to me.
Louise, if I've made you think that I'm anything more than just very fond of you, I'm sorry. Louise, I'm very, very sorry. If I've made you think I love you, well, I'm sorry. What more can I say?
But you do love me. You've loved me for 3 whole days.
3 days?
And I've loved you for years and years. But you've only loved me for 3 days, so of course it seems new to you. I understand.
Now, Louise, what 3 days are you talking about?
The last 3 days, of course. Ever since I started wearing this.
What's that?
It's a bag made from the skin of a toad. A toad impaled at midnight in the graveyard of the abbey.
What's in that bag, Louise?
Why, part of you. Bits of your hair, bits of your fingernails, your toenails, little particles of you.
What kind of a game are you running on me, Louise?
It's no game. It's real.
Real hell? All the time you were hanging around here. You were cooking and cleaning and washing and all that. You were hanging around the set, waiting on me, telling me I'm such a great actor, begging to cut my fingernails, my toenails. You were conning me. You were running some kind of a tricky, sneaky game on me.
It was no game.
Now, look, lady, you get your clothes on fast, you hear me? You get out of here. You want some money?
No. No.
I'll give you money. You've earned it. But if you ever try to play any of these crazy tricks on me again, I'm going to track you down. I'm going to have you put away. Now, you get out of here.
I did get out, Father Giles, but I can't remember how. The next thing I remember is running through the woods calling for Noemi. And then I remember falling down on the ground and the blackness coming down over me.
My poor Louise.
Noemi found me a little later. I don't know how much later.
What happened, Louise?
Nothing happened, Noemi. He doesn't love me. He never did. I think you'd better take back the little toadskin bag, Noemi.
Oh.
It didn't work.
But did you do everything I told you?
Yes, I did. I washed my hair. and perfumed my body, and I lay on his bed. But when he came home, he didn't want me. I tried to tell him about the secret doctrine, but he didn't want to listen.
You told him?
I tried to. After all, I don't know much about it, only what you've told me, and I didn't understand all of that. But he didn't want to hear about it.
Oh, the man's a monster!
Yes, he is a monster.
You poor woman.
No, don't you feel sorry for me either, Father Giles. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me.
But don't you see? You let your desires take hold of you, Louise. You let them dictate your actions. You lost control.
Oh, yes, I did that.
You became blind to the realities of the matter.
Yes, I did that too. I fell in love with a man when he was only a walking shadow on a screen. I hurt no one. I would never have hurt him if he hadn't come to France to make another of his foolish motion pictures.
Louise, would it make you feel better, my child, if I were to tell you that you are not the first to give your heart to an unknown man who's only making his living by performing in public?
I suppose that is true, Father.
Does it make you feel a little better?
But I don't feel badly, Father.
You don't?
Not about him. Not about trying to give myself to him in his telling me he didn't want me. I felt badly about it at the time. Very badly, I suppose.
Of course you did.
But by the time Noemi found me in the woods, I felt quite differently.
Just how did you feel?
Very calm, very clear, very right.
Right about what? Clear about what?
About what I must do.
And what was that?
I kill him, of course.
But you have said that it was all your own doing, that no one else should be blamed.
Quite so. But I had to kill him in me. Don't you see what I mean?
I'm not sure that I do.
Father, he was part of me. He'd been part of me for many, many years. There was more of him in me than there was of myself. Oh, you must understand.
I'm trying, Louise.
I knew how wrong I'd been to love him. Yes, to lust after him. To have obscene thoughts about him there in the dark of the theater. I knew these were sins. They were bad sins. And now I was willing to take upon myself the last sin of all. To kill him. Don't you understand
that? I don't believe I do.
How strange. Noemi understood.
You say Noemi understood? What you have just told me?
Yes, Father. There, that night in the forest, I told her how I must commit this most grievous sin.
How will you do it?
A gun?
Do you have a gun?
No.
Well, then that's no good.
A knife.
Could you get near enough to him to use a knife? Are you strong enough?
No.
Well, then that's no good.
But he must die so that I may live.
He will die. He will die tomorrow morning.
How do you know?
He will die of the Mass of Saint-Cécaire.
Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And all the scorned women from the beginning of time must have at least looked around to see if there was a gun or a knife nearby. Sometimes there was, and the story had an unhappy ending, and a messy one. But what if those poor scorned women had known of the Mass of Saint-Cécaire, a black and malevolent ritual of which you will learn more shortly when I bring you Act 3.
Whopping one-third of the world's energy use. That's how much Americans have been accounting for every year. And we only have 6% of the world's people. This is Jerry Kay for the Sierra Club. Since energy has been cheap and plentiful, we have wasted a staggering amount. But if we just cut out most of that waste, we could save several million barrels of oil every day. Energy conservation is necessary for our economic well-being now, and it is essential to our environmental health from now on. Because our most essential, life-giving natural resources, our air and our lands and our waters, suffer from the careless exploitation of our energy fuels. New and cleaner sources of energy will become available in time. New and more efficient methods of putting that energy to work are on the way. But for now, there is no alternative to energy conservation. It can work. It can work wonders. A message from the Sierra Club.
One simple step that can help reduce your risk of heart attack. Step into your doctor's office at regular intervals for a checkup. In that way, your doctor can keep an eye on your blood pressure. And if it is high, he can take steps to control it.
If you really want to give your heart a break, here's another simple step to take.
Another step? Get in touch with your heart association. Ask for your free copies of their new publications on blood pressure. You will find out just what blood pressure is and how it works. They'll tell you about hypertension, too. That's the medical term for high blood pressure.
Yes, simple, simple other steps to take if you want to give your heart a break. For further information, ask your heart association.
We promised you further details of the Mass of Saint-Césaire, that horrid leftover from the Dark Ages. And so we shall. We always keep our word. Let us pick up our story where we left off, with Louise and Noémie talking in hushed tones beneath the moon in the dark woods of Gascony.
He has to die so that I can live.
He will die tomorrow morning. He will die of the Mass of Saint-Césaire.
How can anyone die of a Mass?
Oh, the Mass of Saint-Césaire is the Mass of revenge. The peasants of Gascony have known this for centuries.
I must ask Father Giles.
Oh, no, you will not breathe a word of this to Father Giles.
But if he would perform the Mass...
He wouldn't dream of it. He probably doesn't even know it. Ah, but I know a priest who knows it and who will perform it. My daughter lives with him. Come, Louise.
We went to the deserted abbey where the priest lived. No one told me his name. I never asked.
You are the one who orders this Mass.
Yes.
For whom shall I say the Mass?
For Peter Sorel.
Who will be my clerk?
Oh, my daughter will be your clerk, Father.
Who will bring the water for the Mass?
I shall bring it, Father.
Do you know a place where the Mass can be held?
Ah, by the ruins of the church, where the gypsies live, Father.
I listened as though nothing they said had anything to do with me, Father Giles. I scarcely knew when they'd finished speaking. I only knew that after a while, Noémie took me by the hand and led me away.
Come, Louise, come. We must get the water for the Mass.
Shouldn't there be wine, Noémie?
For the Mass of Saint-Césaire, there is no wine. There is only water. And the priest does not consecrate it. He drinks it. And it must be water from a well into which the body of an unbaptized infant has been thrown. Come now, Louise, come.
Before 11 o'clock, we were at the ruined church. A dreadful place, Father, where bats lived and toads and owls. And through the darkness, came the priest, Noemi's daughter by his side, and he stood by the ruins of the old altar.
Ever and ever for reign and live you, and all for one you, redemption share.
Noemi, what is he saying?
Shh! It is the Mass of Saint Cecile.
But I don't understand it.
It is the Mass for the dead. He is reciting it backwards.
I watched in horrid fascination, Father. I confess that I was fascinated by it. I was like a bird watching a snake. What is he doing now, Noemi?
He is making the sign of the cross.
No, he's not. He's not making...
Shh. He is making the sign of the cross with his left foot.
His what?
In the dirt. This is the Mass of Saint Cecile.
I couldn't bear to look, Father Giles. I couldn't. And yet I couldn't bear not to look. Started at 11, and now it was drawing to a close as the hour of midnight struck.
Temple, gun, and play, and warn the abominations against me, I. Life, my life, warn your heart.
And then,
the
Mass was suddenly over, and the priest and his clerk, Noemi's daughter, stole away into the darkness without a word to us.
It is over, Louise, and Peter Sorrel has begun to die.
I'm not sure I believed her, Father Giles. I wasn't capable of belief or disbelief or of any thought at all or of any feeling whatsoever. I only felt tired, so tired I doubted I could move. But I pulled myself to my feet, and I said, I must go to him, Noemi. I must go to Peter Sorrel. And I went, Father. I went into town, to the house on the hill, and I waited there till the sun had been up for an hour. And then I went to the door and knocked.
Oh, Louise. I suppose you want to see Peter.
Is he here?
Yes, he's here. But he's very ill. The doctor's with him. And no one knows what's the matter with him.
But I knew, Father Giles. He was dying of the Mass of Saint Cecile.
Louise.
I went to the door every hour, Father. Once, I was told that they'd sent for his doctor from the States. But if that doctor arrived, he came too late. For at 10 o'clock, when I knocked at the door...
Louise. He's dead, Louise. He died a few minutes ago. No one knows why or how or what it was he died of.
I see.
I know you were very fond of him.
I was very fond. Very fond. I went home. I took off my clothes and I lay down on my bed. The little toadskin bag was still around my neck. I took it off. I kissed it. I put it under the pillow. And then I put my head on the pillow and went fast asleep. I slept soundly. With no dreams at all of any kind. And when I awoke, it was noon. Such a beautiful day. And I started to come here to make my confession. On the way, I met Peter Sorrel's friend once more.
He died, Louise, of nothing at all.
Nothing at all?
He was perfectly well. Talking of going home in the morning. Then, about midnight, he said he was tired. He thought he'd go to bed. But he could hardly climb the stairs to his room. I had to help him. He lay on the bed and closed his eyes. He said he felt as though he was slipping away. Wasn't that a strange thing for him to say? That he was slipping away?
I murmured something, that it was strange indeed. Though, of course, I knew it wasn't. He died of the Mass of Saint-Cécaire, Father. And now I've told you everything.
And what do you expect me to do, Louise?
Would he give me my penance, Father? I know it will be severe. I expect that. I want it to be severe. I know what a grave sin I have committed.
Do you, Louise?
To wish for a man's death, Father, to bring it about. What greater sin could there be?
To wish for a man's death, it is a sin in thought, but it can be forgiven. And you are not the first to have committed it. Your wish did not kill him. Men do not die so easily.
It was the Mass of Saint-Cécaire that killed him.
God knows, and he alone. But you conspired in the performance of a gruesome Mass, a relic from the Dark Ages. You took part in it. And what is most awful, you ordered it. And for this desecration of a holy ritual, there is no penance that would suffice.
But without a penance, how can I obtain absolution? How can I obtain pardon?
I cannot pardon you, Louise. I do not know a curate who can, nor a bishop, nor an archbishop.
Father, what am I to do?
My child, it is possible. I promise you nothing you understand. But it is possible. Were you to go to Rome, if the Pope were to see fit...
To Rome? To the Holy Father?
Only he has the right to grant pardon for the Mass of Saint-Cécaire.
Sir, can you tell me, sir? May I ask you?
Yes, Signora. Can I help you?
Please. Is this the Vatican?
This is Vatican City, yes.
Is this the square of St. Peter?
Yes. Straight ahead is St. Peter's Gate.
Oh, I am here.
You've never been here before?
Oh, I have come to see the Pope.
Oh, His Holiness is quite busy, Signora.
I come here to make my confession.
Let me take you to a priest.
No. It must be His Holiness. No one else.
Are your sins so great?
My sin is so great, yes.
Well, I'm only a student here, Signora, but I'll be glad to take you to a priest.
No priest can help me. No bishop. No archbishop.
But a priest might be able to arrange things so that you could see His Holiness, and not right away, of course. It would take time.
I have time. It has already taken me a long time just to come this far.
How long has it taken you?
1,000 days.
Where did you come from?
France. A little town in Gascony.
But that could take you almost 3 years? Oh, you must have stopped off at different places.
Each night, to sleep and pray.
You mean you walked all the way? An old woman like you?
Do I look like an old woman? I have just turned 40.
Oh, forgive me, but you look much older than that.
It doesn't really matter now.
Come. Let me help you to your feet.
No. I shall stay on my knees until I see the Pope. I shall end my journey as I began it.
Are you telling me that you have come 1,000 miles on your knees? But why?
It is my penance for the Mass of Saint-Cécaire.
A 1,000 miles, 1,000 days, on her knees. What awful retribution we expect of ourselves. What endurance we can find within us to carry out our goal. And what is the priceless goal we seek? The goal that so obstinately eludes us after thousands upon thousands of miles and as many days. Why, I think it is nothing more and nothing less than peace of mind. I'll be back shortly.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
I told you it would be a somber story, did I not? And so it was. Well, exploring the unknown is not all fun and frolic. But the unknown must be explored in the wild hope that one day it will become known. I wonder, though, when it is as familiar to us as, say, the combustion engine, will it stop being fascinating and become boring? What then will we do for fun? What will happen to this program? Merciful heavens, what will I do for a job? Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Mildred Clinton, Bill Johnston, Robert Dryden, and Nick Pryor. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
It's moving away. Back into the woods.
Oh, thank heaven.
How could an ant get to be that size? I mean, this isn't Mars. It's Louisiana. Hey, maybe it's mechanical. What? What do you mean, mechanical?
Well, some kind of vehicle the Army's been testing. Remote control, maybe. Oh, we've been walking in this heat for hours. No sleep, no food, no water. We could be imagining anything.
It tried to attack us. I was no vehicle.
Well, then how do you explain an ant as big as a lion?
I don't know.
Well, whatever it was, it's gone.
But it's still out there. Somewhere.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
CBS News is next on KIXI AM and FM in Seattle. The weather outlook calls for partial clearing tomorrow after patchy morning fog, increasing cloudiness tomorrow night and again Sunday. Highs in the lower 70s, lows in the mid-50s. And currently in downtown Seattle, a temperature of 62 degrees, 61 at the airport. The barometer is holding steady. It reads 30.05. The time at KIXI is 11 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford promises a halt to double-digit inflation, but it may take nearly 2 years. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president spoke Friday evening in Philadelphia to a dinner commemorating the 200th anniversary of the First Continental Congress. The president promised that high inflation will be curbed, saying that will happen by the nation's 200th birthday, July 4, 1976. The president called double-digit inflation tyranny and the cruelest kind of taxation without representation. The president Friday night also announced a decision on the amnesty question. He said he will create a special clemency review board for Vietnam-era deserters and draft resistors, saying the board will work on a case-by-case basis. The president promised full details on the program will be revealed on Tuesday. More news in a moment.
Hey, we're the Action Corps.
See, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
Aye, our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C, T.
We could go on all day.
Oh.
Here's why.
Volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you're trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into action.
Oh, yeah.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council. The nation's first lady is in the Deep South this weekend. Susan Peterson reports.
En route to Birmingham, Alabama, to pick up an award for being one of the nation's outstanding women, Mrs. Ford told reporters she expected to make many trips on her own, especially in the campaign year. And if her schedule permitted, she said she'd even be willing to go to states where the Equal Rights Amendment was in jeopardy to help campaign for its ratification. The First Lady also clarified her views on abortion, which became confused from a statement made at this week's news conference. But Mrs. Ford said she was in favor of therapeutic abortions when necessary, though she did not totally agree with the broad scope of the Supreme Court ruling. There was some concern over her stand on abortion since she is visiting Birmingham to help raise funds for a local Catholic hospital, and there were threats of picketing. Mrs. Ford plans to tour St. Vincent's Hospital Saturday morning. Since the president was too busy to say goodbye when she left Washington Friday afternoon, the First Lady said she left a note for him on his pillow. Susan Peterson, CBS News, in Birmingham, Alabama.
Emergency preparations have started along the U.S. Gulf Coast as Hurricane Carmen heads that way, packing top winds of 110 miles an hour. Carmen is now a little over 300 miles south of New Orleans. Officials say actual hurricane warnings will be deferred until morning, but a hurricane watch has been posted. Oil companies are removing their personnel from offshore rigs in the Gulf. Small boats are tying up at ports or moving up rivers for shelter. There's a report from Washington saying representatives of the United States and Cuba have held secret meetings in Switzerland in the past 2 weeks on a possible resumption of diplomatic relations. UPI quotes diplomatic sources as saying Cuban Foreign Minister Raul Roa talked with American officials in Bern, Switzerland between August 27th and September 3rd. Veteran character actor Otto Kruger, who worked more than 50 years in films and on the stage, died Friday in Hollywood on his 89th birthday. Kruger's career goes back to the silent film era. Some of his better-known pictures include Treasure Island, High Noon, and Magnificent Obsession. Now this.
This is Gene King for your Better Business Bureau. The federal truth in lending law is meant to help you, the customer, make informed decisions about borrowing money or buying on time. and to get the most for your money by letting you know exactly how much credit costs. Now, the two most important things to know in order to determine the cost of credit are, one, the finance charge, and two, the annual percentage rate. Now, the finance charge is the total of all charges, the interest and service or carrying charges that a creditor levies. And the law requires that this finance charge be expressed as an annual percentage rate so that you can really compare credit costs. The Truth in Lending Law does not fix interest rates or other credit charges, but it does give you a basis for comparison, you see, when you shop for money or goods on credit. Don't forget that. This has been a consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Mr. and Mrs. Kenneth Reitz of Virginia Beach, Virginia, have found a way to beat the high cost of electricity these days. Don't use any. The family decided to have the Virginia Electric and Power Company turn off the juice. Mrs. Reitz told CBS News how they plan to get along without electric power.
We've turned off our electricity. We're living by kerosene lamps and ice in our refrigerator. I guess you'd call it an ice box. And the reason we're doing it is because we received a very, very high bill, about $40 over what it should be. And the VEPCO refuses to come out and reread the meter. And the way to, we figured it out with the chart that they have, and our bill should be $60. And that's the only reason we're doing it.
Mrs. Reed says the utility company recently sent them a bill for $90. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS 4, Seattle's KIXI. The time now is 6 minutes past 11.